God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And we are joined by Leonor Kavoda. Hello, Leonor.
Hello, Scott.
So, you know, I was thinking about what's happening in our election and why I'm so stressed out these days. And
I think we all are.
Yeah. It's a lot of anxiety. And part of it is because we're being gaslit. Gaslit to the nth degree. We've never been gaslit like we've been gaslit by the mainstream media. I mean, you know, when we go about finding the truth about a candidate, but we listen to, say we listen to, CNN or MSNBC, all we hear is this bashing of the president. You open up the New York Times and it's just nothing but negativity, negative news. When you listen to Joe Biden, all he can do is complain about Donald Trump, despite the fact that, you know, the GDP is 33.1%. You know, 33.1% is not a bad deal. And yet here we are still dealing with it, you know, this negativity. And then, you talk to your friends and they're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I talked to some of my smart friends and, you know, that are liberals that don't watch, that don't want to get informed. And they literally give you this answer like, well, that's not been proven. And I'm like, how much do you actually have to prove? I mean, you know, when it comes to Joe Biden, you know, and someone would say, well, nobody cares about what Hunter's doing in the bedroom. Yeah, but he was sleeping with Malia Obama. He was sleeping with his niece who's underage. Does anyone care about pedophilia in our country? He was sleeping with his brother's widow. And he could have been, in one picture, sleeping with his sister, Naomi.
His sister is Ashley.
Ashley, right. And Ashley wrote a diary that said that she was taking inappropriate showers with Joe Biden, right. Sorry. So, you know, then, you know, with Joe Biden, and it goes on and on. And this is written in her own handwriting. So you got Ashley writing in her own handwriting that she's a sex addict, a drug addict, and took inappropriate showers as a minor with Joe Biden. Wrote that in a diary in her own handwriting. And then you have all these photographs and videos of all these inappropriate things. And again, I really don't care about what Hunter Biden does in his spare time. I really don't care. But what I do care about is if we have a president that can get extorted and say, well, here's the latest that your son Hunter did, either sign this contract, make this treaty, make this deal that's really good for us, this trade deal they could send all your jobs in America overseas, or we're going to go ahead and get you impeached. You can make the choice. And we'll even give you a kickback on the bottom side. So it's like you can give that choice. It's like, well, I'm going to ruin your life and you'll spend the rest of your life in jail. Or you can make this deal that makes us all happy. It doesn't cost you a penny. And I'll even throw in a $5 million cashier's check for you personally. You'd say, well, I'll take the second option. If you're Joe Biden, if you're Hunter Biden, no one wants to believe Bob Alinsky or no one wants to listen. You know, Cheddar TV, right? We actually have Cheddar on YouTube TV. And Cheddar asked one of Biden's handlers about this question. And he got a resounding no answer. We're not going to answer that type of question. So it started to heat up, but yet the mainstream media doesn't even want any part of it. And that's the part that is the most concerning. And not to mention the fact that Hunter has now, according to the Gateway Pundit, appeared on Pornhub. He's got an account with all these different videos and photos.
Yeah, it's pretty seedy.
On Pornhub? Are you kidding me? What kind of character is that? And then at the same time, you got the mainstream media kissing up to Black Lives Matter in Philly, who basically their position is, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to burn your house to the ground. And in D.C., Leonora spends a lot of time in D.C. proper, told us what? That the buildings are being boarded up.
Buildings are being boarded up. I was in there, I guess it was on Wednesday, and when I came in the morning, the building wasn't boarded up, but by around 1, it was boarded up, and there's a lot of buildings all around, like the Farragut, West Farragut, North area, they're boarded up. And obviously, if they're boarded up over there, they're going to be boarded up as you get closer to, you know, Capitol Hill around there. So there is concern that there will be rioting. And in fact, I'm involved in an event that's 2 days after the election. And we made a decision to hold the event in Tyson's Corner instead of in D.C. because there were concerns about riots.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this came from the laptop. And what happened was, and I posted this thing up on Facebook, and a lot of my Patriot friends who follow me on Facebook thought that I turned on Bannon, but I didn't turn on Bannon. I didn't. I think that Bannon's disseminating accurate information. But I've been banned 18,000 times over at Facebook. You know, I mean,
are you out of jail now? You were in it, yeah, 3 days. I think it's,
yeah,
3 days.
Yeah, and the first day back, you know. What it is I think that people need to understand that they ought to try to go over to gtv.org or gnews.org. They're posting stuff every day. And so what is GTV and what is a .org and what is gnews.org? Well, I ran across this great expose over on Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to post it, but I'm not allowed, if on Facebook, I'm not allowed to say anything about Malia Obama, for example. I'm not allowed to say anything about just about anything, right? So I was speaking in coded language, and I got some heat for it. You know, yeah, like, what are you doing turning on Bannon? And I'm like, no, what I'm trying to do is put the information out there and get you to look without saying so. Because if I say so, I'm going to get flagged and banned on Facebook. This is the world we're living in now, is that we have to navigate around, you know, the truth to try to figure out how to tell the truth and get the truth out there on the mainstream medias, the big tech, without getting censored. So one thing I did not know is that GTV and GNews, that's breaking all this sexual propaganda, a lot of the letters that are being written back and forth. And it's not just sex tapes. It's also letters back and forth to different players. And Steve Bannon owns GTV. He owns the parent company, Global News, and he owns the parent company to GTV and GNews. So you go back and you say, well, it was only in August that Bannon was arrested on a boat, $150 million yacht or something like that. And so what happened was Bannon was on a boat by a billionaire from China. And this billionaire from China had the dirt on the Bidens. And so when we didn't know this at the time, we didn't know this in August.
Right.
And what they were doing, the government, was silencing Bannon. Because there's this guy, he's a Chinese billionaire, Guo Wengai. They were meeting in April 2020. Bannon claims everything in the Hunter Biden laptop scandal is true. So they got all this information, and they got it from a guy that's a billionaire, Guo Wengai, who is now on the lam. He has actually a super expensive apartment overlooking Central Park in New York. But in addition to that, he is just one of the richest men in the world, and he somehow came about this information. He's also one of the financiers of this news outlet that's disseminating the information that the mainstream media doesn't even want to see. Despite the fact that there's so much legitimacy to what you're seeing. And then there's corroboration, because what you're seeing over at GTV and GNews.org, you also are now seeing on Pornhub, which tracks back to Hunter Biden under the guy's name Harper. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in any case, there's also a pseudonym for Joe Biden. But no one in the media wants to cover this. And you know, if it was a Trump, they would have been all over this story. And I've checked this. I've verified it. I've done my research on this. And I believe that what Biden is disseminating and what Giuliani brought into the chain of custody is information that's directly from a laptop that is damning to the Bidens. And the mainstream media doesn't want to cover it. And we're seeing Glenn Greenwald quit his own liberal newspaper, The Intercept, because they don't want to cover it. The mainstream media doesn't want to cover it. Nobody's covering this. The big tech is hiding it. The mainstream media is obviously hiding it. So let's take a listen to a quick clip by Giuliani. He's upset about all this.
Proof? New York Times? You want proof? Twitter? You want proof? Facebook? You want proof? You corrupt, lying, whatever you are? Here's the proof. I didn't write it. Russians didn't write it. And I didn't get the 30 million. Your prince got it. The prince of darkness, Joe Biden. The guy who used his son, a drug addict, to be his bag man. Why do you think his son lost his teeth at 40 years old? Because under this kind of pressure, working with murderers and organized criminals like Mykola Zoshevsky and Elena Budarina and Xi Jinping at the bottom of the river and Whitey Bulger's nephew. What do you think happens
James
to
Bulger.
A drug addict, Dad?
Nephew, not.
Yeah.
When
not
you put him in with people like that, he becomes a much worse drug addict. He becomes a degenerate drug addict. You couldn't find some bum in Washington to do this for you? You had to use your son and ruin his life? And you want to be president of our country? My goodness, you should check in to the local federal prison and start doing your time. That's where you belong, not in the White House. You used your family to pick up your bribes, hide your bribes, live the life of a billionaire. And by the way, I don't think you failed in all those negotiations just because you're stupid. I think you failed in those negotiations because you sold out the United States of America. That's what I think you did. And you were ready to do it again if we didn't catch you.
All right. So, you know, that is a good point. You know, that there is this picture of Hunter Biden where he's at the dentist's office. He's lost all his teeth.
He's 40 years old.
There's a name for that. It's called meth mouth. So all of his teeth are fake. But the idea is that, you know, obviously this was destroying an unwell person.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody in that family seems to be unwell. You know, what Does anyone even care about, you know, Natalie, the daughter of Bo and Haley, and what kind of messed up world she's living in that the uncle is now sleeping with the mother, right, Haley?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then there's pictures that indicate that, you know, you have Natalie, you know, with Hunter in an inappropriate way. And there are photographs where Hunter is holding a child and he's naked. And they raced out the faces, so right. You can't see who it is exactly. But it's real. It's really happening.
Yeah.
And nobody in our society on the left gives two cents about it. And we'll take a caller really quick. Caller, you're on the air. We have just a little bit of time today.
Yep, I'll be real quick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Leonore, remember about a year... Good morning, Leonore. Remember about a year ago we had a discussion of Shakespeare, and I talked about Lady Macbeth out damn spot, and you responded with...
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
The Witch's Brew statement, double toil and trouble.
Yes, I remember that.
Cauldron bubble. It's like we are witnessing a giant Shakespearean tragedy with every single evil deed mixed up into one big giant ball of wax. And then you have Bobby Linsky coming and he's trying to warn everybody and they're trying to swat him down and kill him. And Giuliani, he just had his wonderful speech. It's like he's standing up on stage because it was so awesome listening to that. That's all I wanted to say. We're in the middle of this horrible, horrible Shakespearean tragedy, and all we can do is pray to God.
Pray to God that we, you know, pray to God that Trump wins, because this is a terrible situation that we're in.
Oh, it's just horrible.
And, you know,
it's horrible.
Yeah. All right, thank you for calling. And you know what's doubly worse is that, you know, you have these polls, and the poll indicates that Trump is down 17 points, yet, you know, we were listening to this congressional politician in Wisconsin, says, you know, Trump signs everywhere. It's like 8-1, you know. You look at the crowd sizes. You look at early voting in Wisconsin and Michigan are favoring the Republicans. So how could you have a poll that's 17 points in favor of Biden? And, you know, it's not just about the fake poll. It's about the fact that they're using that poll to skew the aggregate average in the Real Clear Politics average. You see?
Yeah.
So if you have one poll that's 17 points in favor of another guy and all the rest are six yeah. points one way or the other, you then can guarantee that the Real Clear Politics average is going to yeah. be in favor of the yeah. guy you want it to be in favor yeah. of, just by having one representative poll. Now, listen to this. To someone's credit, a journalist, to someone's credit, justanotherchannel.com, they at least put this out there, and it was pretty good. It's Joe Biden was given a speech and in San Antonio, and this is what happened.
In Trump Towers, he said he was doing it before he hit the ground floor. Remember what he said? He said, I'm going to take on those rapist Mexicans. Then he cried, no, there's never been a president.
That's a lie, Joe.
Never been a president.
That's a lie.
Oh, it is a lie.
Yeah. And it was your son in the Ukraine. All right. Hold $1 billion to cancel a foreign relations. Son of a bitch, he got fired, right?
So that was right out of that, you know, admission yeah. of the quid pro quo. So, you know, it's heating up and people are fed up with it. And again, the reason why I posted the Daily Mail with the Bannon situation is to give some backstory as to yeah. who GTV is. Everybody thought GTV was this Chinese outfit. It's actually Bannon controlled and it's disseminated. I think there's some collusion with Rudy Giuliani, but the data itself is real. It's just who's going to disseminate it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but who's going to disseminate it and not get sued for whatever reason, and to get it all tied up in litigation. So bring it over to China. Because it was a China billionaire that financed the group. And this is a situation where if China has this information, no wonder Joe Biden has been selling out to China, finding it acceptable that they're in the WTO, finding TPP to be acceptable when they know it benefits China. The Paris Accord benefits China because we end up footing the bill for all the green technologies, because for China, they don't even have to kick in until 2030, 2035. So they're the ones that are polluting. And what does Bannon get? Bannon gets arrested. And everybody thought that that was incredibly wrong.
Yeah,
right?
I thought so at
the time.
They were
like, what? What are any of these other monsters going to get arrested? So it's the gaslighting that's really stressing out America.
The targeting of conservatives and the ignoring of relevant news several days before an election about a person who, you know, to quote Tucker Carlson, could become the president of the United States next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, why are these stories being suppressed? And when you look around and they're not being covered, and then people are being penalized for you know, freedom of expression,
and then they're trying to say that Trump is not going to, you know, there's going to be riot because Trump's going to lose. They're saying Trump will lose, and that's why they're afraid that Trump supporters will get violent.
Well, there's actually two theories on that.
Trump supporters never get violent.
There's two theories that they think if Trump loses, his supporters will get violent, which, as you said, is a complete misperception because conservatives never get violent. And then the other is if Trump wins, there's going to be unrest from the other side. And that's what they don't want to say.
Yeah, and I think that the real fact that they're boarding things up is they have internal data that suggests that Trump is going to win. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And I say this, you know, who invented the phrase love Trump's hate?
I think that came up during the Hillary Clinton campaign.
That was
campaign.
The Democrats that
right,
said that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And it was funny at the time. Because
they do nothing but hate.
No, it was, what made it funny was the obvious play on words that you've got, the candidate was Hillary Clinton, and she was going around saying love Trump's hate, and the other candidate's last name was Trump.
Joe Biden, and I always love that little play on words, but Joe Biden, he never says anything on the stump that's a plan. It's always about COVID, death, despair, joblessness, all this stuff. And now, you know, he's even trying to poo-poo the 33.1 GDP, which is almost four times greater than the record. GDP.
Well, and part of that is just a campaign response to try to diminish his opponent. But the bigger issue.
But if you die by the sword, you live by the sword.
Agreed.
When they're trying to throw the book at him for the COVID economic downturn. But one of the things I want to say before you go on is the conflation was less than the average set of nations, and our response, our return back, our V-shaped recovery. Is better than any other country in the world right now.
Exactly. Well, again, the point that I think is really critical, and I think you started to touch on this, is you've got one candidate, President Trump, who is always talking about the future of America, the promise of America. And then you've got, on the other side, Joe Biden, former president, Vice President Joe Biden, who's a doomsday sayer at this juncture.
Yeah, well, they're the ones pushing the 1619 hate America's racist.
And I think this is very disconcerting, because you cannot mobilize a nation, you cannot motivate a group of people by focusing on the negative. You have to focus on the positive, or else, you know, you've already gone through months of people being stuck in their homes because of COVID, and losing their businesses. You got to give them something to hold on to, and President Trump is doing that. President Biden is just giving them a reason to crawl under the covers.
Well, Biden. I thought it was also summed up very well when they were pushing the 1619 children, teaching children. There was this thing that floated around social media where the guy said, "This is what they're teaching my eighth grader," and it was all about Black Lives Matter and what was the last word? Who said I can't breathe? These were questions for an eighth grader.
Well, and that's what we're supposed to be learning. I mean, as opposed to history.
And they're indoctrinating, they're gaslighting, and they're rewriting history. And so Trump said, you know what? We're going to poo-poo your 1619 on the federal level, and we're going to replace it with the 1776.
Oh, gee, isn't that a nice number?
Reminds us America's great.
Independence.
No, and we're going to teach American values and American history that we could be proud of. And, you know, and also talk about the truth, talk about our history and what we've learned about our mistakes. That's really where Trump is coming from with the 1776 concept. But, you know, that's where we are right now. I want to also play a little clip from Mark Morgan from the Border Patrol. Okay, so here we go.
Hey, Tucker, thanks for having me.
Okay, because this is more censorship. And again, this was something where he tweeted something out. And what he tweeted was something very benign, you know, and I couldn't get over it. Basically, he said CBP and U.S., you know, Army Corps of Engineers continue to build a new wall every day. Every mile helps us stop gang members, murderers, sexual predators, and drugs from entering our country. It's a fact. Walls work. So walls basically keep out all the different kinds of trafficking, sex trade, slave labor markets, you name it, right? And so we have a lot of that benefit coming in, you know, happening in America, right, with the wall being built. They were celebrating, by the way. It wasn't in a vacuum. They were celebrating the idea that they were celebrating 400 miles of wall. 400 miles of wall. So Twitter bans him for that tweet. That tweet that's
so benign.
How does
it feel to live in a country where someone who runs an agency expresses a fact-based opinion?
He's been having great shows lately.
And finds himself censored.
I didn't understand. I didn't think I was living in America. I mean, what happened to me, Tucker, should scare every American citizen right now. And they really should be listening to your show. And, Tucker, let's be clear. This wasn't about that tweet. That was just a vehicle that they used. What they were trying to censor was my message that I've been trying to get to the American people about how successful this president has been by providing us not only the tools like the wall system behind me, but also the network of policies that allowed us to effectively absolutely be successful in addressing the illegal migration crisis we had last year. And I've been equally as vocal on the critics whose policies want to undo all of that, Tucker, and which actually would end up with absolutely open borders. And we wouldn't just have another illegal immigration crisis. That would result in an illegal invasion. That is what they're trying to censor. That is the truth they're trying to keep from the American people.
Not to mention a humanitarian disaster. But isn't a discussion of public policy sacrosanct? Isn't that why we have a First Amendment, so people can express their political views, so we can openly debate the best course forward for the country? I mean, you were making a public policy argument, were you not?
That's exactly right. And I'll stand behind what my policy argument is based on fact, statistical analysis, and historical trends. But that's exactly right. This is exactly the type of debate we should be having right now. But Twitter did what they did on purpose. Let's make no mistake about it. With just a few days before the election, they knew what they were doing intentionally. And now after they did it, after they got their hand caught in the cookie jar, it's disingenuous saying they made an error. No, the only reason why they reversed it is because it went viral and got national attention. That's the truth.
Right. If they're doing that to you, imagine what they're doing to people with less power. Mark Morgan, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
So I want to thank a lady who listens in to our syndicated show over in Philadelphia, 1180 WFYL, and Marianne, she texted in. She said, if God is for me, who can be against me? And she said, read Acts 5:39.
Okay.
So thank you for that, Marianne, and call in sometime. You know, we could always use some good wisdom,
yes,
and
spiritual words,
and spiritual
always
words.
Helpful.
So, and you know, it's we have the greatest listeners who listen in and do these things and say these things that are hopeful and give you know, and hope that, a level of hope to, you know, I wanted to read Trump's tweets. You know, he got an endorsement from Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
another rapper. Rappers are coming out in droves.
Rappers for Trump?
There was a Rasmussen poll that said Trump is getting 30% of the black vote. If he gets that, it's a landslide.
Yeah.
He's getting 24% of Philadelphia's vote. Normally, a candidate would get 15 to 18%. So if he gets that, he wins Pennsylvania. Jack Nicklaus gave an endorsement. Donald Trump said, sports reporter calls Jack Nicklaus endorsement of President Trump divisive. That was like a Breitbart article. Who is Darren Rovell? Thank you, Jack. So basically, if you endorse Donald Trump, you get in trouble, especially if you're, you know, a sports figure or an entertainment figure. But if you're law enforcement, yeah, that's fine. You can have them. And law enforcement, fire department in Philadelphia endorsed Trump. But the one that bothers me the most, they're going to be given a lot of speeches today in the Rust Belt area, right, Leonora?
Yes, and they are going
to
be
in Keith here. Ellison is trying to stop and prevent Trump from campaigning and holding a rally of any kind of size at all in Rochester. And think about
Rochester, Minnesota. Yeah.
Rochester, Minnesota. And think about it. You know, one of the things that's happening for Biden is, you know, when you hold a rally, you're supposed to get 10, 20,000 people to show up. A lot of these people didn't vote last time. You're trying to get them to the polls and get them motivated to vote. That's what a rally is all about, right? To jazz up the crowd. And so Trump does that everywhere he goes with these large crowds. Right. Some are 39, I think it was 29,000 for a couple of them. And when they give out the numbers reports, it's really great. People that didn't vote, there are non-Republicans that are showing up at these rallies, and you can get these voters to vote. And in a state like Minnesota, that might be really important. Now, I heard it said when Joe Biden was going to Wisconsin today, a reporter on Fox News said, "We don't really know exactly yet where he's going to be."
Yeah, he's supposedly in Milwaukee, somewhere.
How is that going to get out the vote?
Well, that's what you don't get. Whereas with President Trump, we know exactly where he's going to be.
Yeah. So I mean, his rallies are just sort of figure pieces. You know, I was in Wisconsin, but you're not getting people to come out and motivate them to vote, right? And that's the whole key. Well, we have a guest on right now. His name is Brent Hemachek, and he comes to us from... He's a great writer over at Human Events. And Brent, thank you for coming back on the Scott Adams Show today.
Thanks for having me back. That's good to know I passed the first test with you and your listeners. So I feel very fortunate and can't quite explain it, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah,
well,
no,
great
I've,
to have you.
I've always been impressed by your writing, but you and I have had just long calls, like for no reason whatsoever. I'll pick up the phone and call Brent and we'll talk for 40 minutes. And it just gets to be like this really interesting call, you know, always. And one of the things is, I thought of you when I was thinking of Glenn Greenwald, because I think Glenn, you know, despite the fact that Glenn Greenwald is somewhat of a, you know, leans left and The Intercept is a left wing, organization, to a certain degree, they did some fine reporting, and Glenn Greenwald has won a couple of awards, and he was connected with that Snowden documentary and has done some amazing work, Pulitzer Prize winning work. And yet he had to resign from his own organization that he founded. And he was on Tucker Carlson last night and gave a real good account of himself. But what are your thoughts on that? Because you're an intellectual thinker and a good writer, and you understand how the publishing business works. What are your thoughts on Glenn Greenwald and what's happening in America with censorship?
Well, it's extraordinary at every level. It's a funny thing about extremism. It squeezes things out at the ends, and it doesn't leave much room. And it's also a funny thing about extremism in the sense that every once in a while, perhaps some of the folks that might be responsible for having it take place and evolve actually catch a glimpse of it. I was saying early during the China flu pandemic here, watching what the American media was doing in terms of creating fear and hysteria and watching the country disintegrate, I would say to people, I wonder what it would be like if you could sort of somehow or other figuratively. Take a typical American reporter at the New York Times or Washington Post or The Intercept, and somehow or other lift them up maybe 2 or 3 feet above the line of the crowd and have them look down and show them what they've done. Would it move them, or would they be thrilled? So we're living in a moment in time where we've never seen, in the United States in particular and worldwide in general, the media so strongly take a stand, both against the president and sort of, if you will, in favor of the flu. And the extreme behavior is starting to catch the attention of some who have been squeezed out at the end, like him and like the person from the New York Times.
Her name was Weiss.
His name escapes me.
Weiss.
Barry Weiss.
Barry Weiss. Not to be confused with Barry White.
You. Right.
Okay. She's a lot different than Barry White was.
Yes, a lot different. But, you know, at some point in time, people involved in this, if they get a chance to sort of just step up on a box and look around, they say, oh, my God, what's happening? And so good for him to recognize the what's happening. Sad that part of founding a group that's one of the contributors to the what's happening. But we'll take a spiritual revelation whenever we get it. So good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting when we look at what happened with Glenn Greenwald, and we juxtapose that with, you know, the suppression of the New York Post story about Hunter Biden, the mainstream media not telling the most recent revelations with Tony Bobulinski. We have all these issues all happening pretty much at the same time, and you look around and you see on the mainstream media that they're basically focused on hyperbole. They're just, you know, it's all, you know, attack dog stuff about Trump. It's all about what Trump isn't, or he, you know, tweets too much, or but the real story is
everything is about Trump.
Well, that's the thing. Trump
both
is there
on their side negatively, and then on, you know, the conservative side positively.
And you know that old adage is, you know, just spell my name right. You know, all press is good press, and to a certain extent that is true. But at the same token, you've got these stories that are not getting out there, and if it weren't for the fact that that these New York Post story happened, we wouldn't have known more about the Hunter Biden story. And here we are 4 days from the election, and we've got all these major networks and other entities not covering a critical story that shows compromised behavior on behalf of the presidential candidate. You know, this man who could in a week become the president of the United States, and they're not covering it. I mean, this is crazy in this world.
Well, they're starting to cover it, but they're covering it in a different way. I would direct your listeners to a piece that's worth reading just because of the sheer fascination level of it that came out of NBC yesterday, explaining to people just how the entire Hunter Biden story was born out of a false and imaginary...
Are you talking about Mark Allen?
Firm.
You're talking about the artificial intelligence Mark Allen piece that they put out?
Correct.
Yeah, so they're basically saying it's disinformation when, in fact, their version of the story is a version I've never even really heard of before, because I'm on the track of Rob Walker and Bobulinski and Devin Archer. And you know who did the same thing? And I tweeted about this. Brent, and I tweeted about this where Michael Isikoff from Yahoo News basically decided, oh yeah, let me tell you about the Seth Rich murder, right? And he gave a right-wing conspiratorial version of it that was, and
right.
I dabble in those circles, and I can tell you, I never heard his version before. He made it out of whole cloth, a version of right-wing conspiracy that I had never heard of before. And so they made it up so that they could easily debunk it. Now, I just stepped all over your story, but yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
No, you didn't step all over it at all. The point is that now that the story itself has spread enough that it can't be completely ignored, now you see the strategy of simply discrediting it somehow. And, you know, look, again, we go back to where we were, and we go back to where we were in the first time you were nice enough to have me on the show. This is the American media providing air cover to and driving the actions of government. It's not government driving the media. Our media is driving the government these days. And so we have a whole couple of generations of folks that have entered the media world out of colleges that have taught them a certain way of thinking, a certain general belief system that U.S. bad, global community good. And now they've put that they put that into action in their day jobs. And the result is a distorted picture of reality that, unfortunately, every American citizen is confronted with. And not all American citizens really have the time and the energy to sift through and do the critical, skeptical work they have to do to get to the truth. They're busy making a living, supporting a family, trying to keep the roof on their house, and all those other good things that humans were meant to do. And they can't really trust the media to keep them informed.
So I need to correct myself just real quick. So Kyle Griffin from MSNBC says this. NBC exclusive. Okay, so it's exclusive. And CNN picked it up as well.
Yeah.
The Hunter Biden dossier that went viral on right-wing internet sites. Okay, so they just did that's number one discrediting right there. And was later disseminated by Trump's close associates, and that would be Steve Bannon and people like that that are connected with GTV and GNews, appears to be from a fake intelligence firm. The author of the report, Martin Aspin, does not exist. He was created out of whole cloth by artificial intelligence, and he doesn't even exist, which is like, oh, who's Martin Austin? I mean, or Martin Aspin, I'm sorry, Martin Aspin.
Right.
I'm like saying to myself, I never even heard that guy's name in this whole thing. And then they rattled off two or three other names. And I said this in response to that article. I said, fake news is saying Martin Aspin from a Swiss firm was created from AI, doesn't exist, and is at the heart of a dossier the Bidens refused to deny. That's the key. I've heard of Bobulinski, Rob Walker, Devin Archer, but not Martin Aspin. It's the right and not Biden's integrity that's now being questioned. And that's where they want to put their airspace, on questioning the integrity of conservatives who push this story that's not even being denied by the Bidens. And here we are. It's just a razzle-dazzle, and it's been done before. It's an old, dirty trick.
An old, dirty trick. I know people in my own personal life who are Biden supporters who, and I don't debate people that I know in politics. I mean, there's no money in it. I'm not terribly interested. But when I ask them a question about this story, it's certainly worked in terms of how it's been handled, because their responses in general are, oh yeah, I've heard about that. That's just fake stuff. They're just trying to go after him. Yeah, they're making stuff up about his kid to get at him. And it's not that they're even really in denial. These are decent enough people. They actually believe it. And they believe it because that's the way it's been treated. And they still have some level of trust, for whatever reason, in what they see on television or read on Facebook. God help us all.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that's interesting, and I was telling my listeners this yesterday, as a matter of fact, and what it was that people, you know, if you watch these flash polls after a debate, or, you know, the flash polls that are live or live polls on social media, they always sort of trend conservative, you know, like in an overwhelming way, like 70% to 30%. And I was like, why is that? Why are the polls that people do data sets anonymously in the back room, why are they showing Biden winning? But why is it on social media that the conservatives are trouncing the Biden, you know, or why is that happening? And one of the reasons I came up with was, over the last 15 years, there's been a huge departure, an exodus, if you will, from mainstream media, because conservatives are hearing stuff they don't believe. So they've migrated to social media. They've become citizen journalists. They've set up shop on YouTube, and their channels have recently been taken down. But for the most part, people were going to YouTube to find private citizen journalist channels and going to places like Human Events and the American Conservative to, you know, read different pieces of news and get informed and share information on social media. So that's where they were finding their truth. So this committee hearing earlier in the week with, you know, Jack Dorsey, who, you know, looked disheveled.
Yeah, that's a bad look for him.
Mark Zuckerberg and the guy from Google all getting on there, lying through their teeth. And it's so brazen because you know that they know what they're doing, right? They know exactly what they're doing. For Mark Morgan from Border Patrol to be censored for posting what his opinion, right, of, you know, it's absolutely amazing that they're doing this. But they're doing it in the last couple of weeks. And it's a broad sweeping media blackout of anything pro-conservative while greenlighting anything negative toward Trump. And it's because they have their work cut out for them, because I think that the conservatives are overwhelming the big tech social media markets because they've already left the mainstream media, traditional television. And this is the last bastion of hope. And what it might end up costing them, so the big tech, is their Section 230 protection, which didn't work out so well for Craigslist.
Right, it didn't. That's perhaps the understatement of broadcast history. But look, we'll see, because if Trump loses the election on Tuesday, then that effort to go after social media comes to a screeching halt. The Justice Department, you'll find, mysteriously either drops or buries its antitrust piece against Google. These hearings are going to turn into nothing bunnies on the 230 piece because there's absolutely no real incentive on the part of the Democrat Party, who's the primary beneficiary of all this, to do anything to shut it down. And then turn our attention to where the conversation started this morning between us. What they'll find over time is that at the extremes, some of them are going to get squeezed out too, right? And, you know, the canary in the coal mine on all this comes from a different angle, and it comes from the statements of AOC, who I will not call Congresswoman, over the last few days about what she's going to do when Biden's elected, and the plan to turn him and move him. This is the classic case of eating your own young, or in this case, old. this doesn't stop. There's not a moment of conquest with which they'll be satisfied. They'll continue to feed, and some of the Democrats that support this activity today are going to be victims of it tomorrow. That's the way it always works with censorship and control. You can't satiate it.
Well, how did the Little Shop of Horrors end? It didn't end well, did it?
No, it didn't end well.
I think there was an explosion at the end.
Yeah, two of the most famous words in Broadway and movies. Feed me.
Yeah, right? Feed me, Seymour. And it's an insatiable appetite. Well, Brent, thank you so much for spending time with the Scott Adams Show. Now, I want to ask you to tell our audience how people could find out more information about you and what you're writing, and just share that with our audience.
Absolutely. Very briefly, go to humanevents.com, and you will see our work on the news side. We are writing stories every day and focusing on telling you things that the mainstream media won't tell you, or things that the mainstream media is telling you that aren't actually completely true. So the news side is up and running and working. The opinion side, under the heading of Will Chamberlain, is terrific. Will's a genius. They do great work. And then I would, on a personal plug, I'd love it if your listeners would go to Human Events on the opinion side and read the piece that I wrote last week. Personal letter I wrote to my iconic music legendary hero, Bruce Springsteen. It was my letter to him in the week that he released his new album, Letter to You, asking him to sit down and have a conversation to actually try to solve issues instead of running to Australia. And the piece has been very well received and very humbling. And it's not just a letter from myself to Springsteen. It is a letter from team right to team left. So while it's me to him, it also could be half of America writing to the other half. Because if we don't sit down and figure this out, we're going to go out of business.
Well said.
Absolutely. You know, and that was a brilliant piece. You turned me on to that. You sent me a text with that. I read that, and it blew me away.
It was a great piece.
So what's the name of the article, in case people want to search for it?
It's Bruce Springsteen, Here Is My Letter to You.
Okay. By Brent.
On Human Events.
Brent Hamachek.
If they put Springsteen and Human Events in their search bar, they'll get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Brent.
We'll hopefully have you back on again.
Anytime you're crazy enough to ask, I'll be happy enough to show up.
We're just that crazy. We're crazy. We're loony. All right. Take care.
Take care, Brent.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we are a crazy bunch around here.
Yes, we are. Yeah, and it's getting to be a crazy couple of days. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to believe in just a few days.
So we have a few minutes left, and wow, I wanted to play an audio clip of Glenn Greenwald, but I think we covered that. And then there were some other audio clips we wanted to cover from Laura Ingraham and Hannity. They're all good. They're posted up on our social media on Twitter. But I wanted to also just pay a little bit of homage to Trump's Twitter feed today, because we do that. We used to do it a lot more. We've been really just trying to pack a lot of information into 1 hour. Commercial-free hour, nonetheless, but still, you know, a lot of people, they find it difficult without a break. You know, they can't do an hour without a break. But we find it troublesome. We need more than an hour.
Right,
you know,
but there you go.
It's sort of weird. So Trump says way ahead in Texas. He also tweeted, "Watch the great red wave." Then his next tweet was make America great again. Vote, and then he did a hashtag Biden crime family. Okay, everything Trump tweets is by a sense of design and a level of brilliance to it. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump tweeted, Biden will destroy the United States Supreme Court. Don't let this happen. Of course, he wants to pack the court. He wants to pack the Senate. And anything else that the radical left wants to do, he's going to take a pen to paper and sign off on it. And then Donald Trump tweeted this. He says, if sleepy Joe Biden is actually elected president, the four justices plus one that helped make such a ridiculous win possible. Let's see. If sleepy Joe Biden is actually elected president, the four justices plus one. I guess he's talking about Chief Justice Roberts. That helped make such a ridiculous win possible would be relegated to sitting on not only a heavily packed court, but probably a revolting court as well. At least the many new justices will be radical left. So I think what he was talking about there is a lot of the litigation.
Yeah.
There's a big litigation in PA, and a lot of people are confused about that. And what it is there was a case for 3 days that you can receive the votes 3 days after, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And they decided they were going to take it to the Supreme Court. Well, Chief Justice Roberts sided with the left. And so it went back 4-4.
Right.
If it's 4-4, it goes back to the lower court. That's what happened. But now they're saying, we want to revisit this now that there's a 9-member court. And you can break the tie at the Supreme Court level.
Yeah.
And they did not poo-poo that. They did not disagree with that.
Right.
They said, yes, that we will definitely consider that. And at that point, Amy Coney Barrett will make the difference, and it'll be 9-4. 5-4. But the problem with that is the rules of the game are that you're, you know, given this impression that you have 3 days after. So I find it very difficult that they would be waiting this long. They need to hear these cases now, today. They need to hear them as soon as possible. And North Carolina is another case that they really need to address. And then there was more election fraud that Trump tweeted out about. And that brings us to the end of our show. We have our music playing in the background. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And stay strong. And don't stress out too much and be vigilant with your polling places. Post things on social media that are going to help Trump get reelected. And with that, my name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonore Cravetta.
And you're listening to The Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out our podcast over at scottadamsshow.com. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now. It's in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. I grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.